to be together in your house. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and praise and worship you. Lord, as we lift up our voice in song, Lord, as we gather around your word and in so many other aspects of what we do today, you have brought us together for a cause and for a purpose. Lord, may we learn from you. May we draw close to you. Father, may we be equipped as we go out into the world to truly be the disciple that you want us to be, that others may look at us and see Jesus and say, that's what I want in my life. Father, today we ask that you would just lead us and guide us, that our hearts would be prepared and right before you. If there's anything that would hinder that worship today, Lord, bring it to light in our hearts that it might be dealt with, that we have a clear path of communication this morning as we gather together and as we worship you. So bless our time, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. Pray everybody is doing well on this beautiful Lord's Day. If you are here today and you're visiting with us for the first time, or it's been a long time since you've had that opportunity to be with us, if you would, please take a moment, and in your bulletin you'll see a guest registration. There's a little perforation in the middle of that. If you'll kind of bend it, you'll feel it break right down through there. If you could just fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as that comes around, that does give us a record of your attendance, and also a way and a means and an opportunity to share with you a little bit more about us at Central Baptist Church. We're glad you're here today. We trust and pray that the Lord is going to do some incredible things in your life as you just meet Him in this place and as you worship. And speaking of worship, we are going to continue to worship as our praise team leads us now.
Bound into his dreams, bound with his power. Turn my bitter into sleep, and all my past is lifted. You took the shadows on my feet, and there's no sound louder than a captive set free. So let the redeemed of the world say so. Sing of His promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
And there's joy in the morning. Up in my soul, there's life worth living, because He calls me His own. And there's a hallelujah after sweet victory, and there's no sound louder than the captive set free. No, there's no sound louder than the captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of His promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer, you are my promised land. Oh, you are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. God, you are my deliverer, you are my promised land. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of His promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh, pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
narrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Release from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom, be faithfully born. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. Oh, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so freeing washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring out on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the servants of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. When death was arrested, my life began. When death was arrested, my life began.
That really brings joy to my heart, I hope to each and every heart in our church, is the fact that this is a church that loves missions. And the reason this church loves missions is because it loves people. And it understands that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to reach those beginning here. It's our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. But God has led us in incredible ways to different places with different people to see many different things take place. I always like to hold this and as a reminder oftentimes because it was back in 2002 that we took on the challenge. And what this is, for those of you who don't know, it's not a pipe bomb or anything, but it's a baton. It's a relay baton. And if you've ever watched a relay race, what takes place with a relay race is that different people run different segments of one race. And there's a handoff zone. So what happens is as the one runner is running with this baton, he gets to a certain area, and you a lot of times what you'll see is you'll see another runner reach back with his hand and until he feels that put in his hand, then he takes off running until he gets to the handoff zone where he'll place it in somebody else's hand. So we took up that concept with missions. And one of the things that we've done since 2002 is we've got to keep the race going. The race, as long as we're alive, is still here. So symbolically, each time we have one of our mission teams go out, we hand off this baton to them because they're running a leg of that journey in missions until we have the opportunity to be able to see and to meet Jesus. Now, a lot of you know because you have supported on so many levels, prayerfully, financially, and in many other ways, you have supported this team that's getting ready to go out this coming Thursday. And, of course, the shirts look the same. You know, that's why I've got this on. You know, our Cuba shirts hadn't changed in 15 years, have they? They're the same one. Like I said, I've got like a whole wardrobe of these because I think this is about our 15th or 16th. I can't even remember. I've lost track of going. But I was so grateful that we didn't just decide to go somewhere and then say, oh, that was a great year. Where are we going next year? We decided to plant roots where we are, build relationships, and see God do incredible things. And I certainly hope and pray that someday on this side of glory, you'll have an opportunity to see what God has done through you to change hearts and lives in this place called Cuba. I want to introduce to you the team that will be leaving this Thursday. We've got a team of six. You probably picked us out for seven. I wasn't counting myself, so that's what happens. But anyway, I'm going to get our team to come on up before you because one of the things that we always like to do, not just hand off the baton, but also take the opportunity to let you see these faces and let you know who is taking place, who is going. I'll let you know who we've got. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else?
Ken and Mike.
Mike, okay. Ken and Mike. These are guys you know. Chris, you'll know him. If you don't know Chris, you'll know Chris. Yeah, Chris is, I think he's the new guy this year. He's the rookie. So he's probably really nervous. Y'all pray for him, huh?
Called himself the Greenhorn.
The Greenhorn. Yeah, he's our Greenhorn on this trip because the rest of us have been at least once or multiple times. But pray for Chris. I know there's probably there's a lot of can I use the word angst as you go forward, particularly if you've never done it before. Then you get like Tony and I, and you're like, okay, which one of us or both of us is going to go over there and talk to the soldiers? Because we like pointing at when they say, "Who's your leader?" We like to point at him because they usually take him to the back room, and we just wait around to see what's next. But Jeff he went last year. This is Jeff's second year. Stan's been 10 years in a row. Stan's like, he's just like, Stan is Cuba. We love taking him with us and, couldn't do without him. Tony, who is our team coordinator, I promise you, I couldn't put this team together with all the hoops you've got to jump through with politics. I'll call it politics and planning and everything else from passports all the way down to visas. That's Tony's wheelhouse. That's what God put him on earth to be able to do is organize, and he does a fantastic job with it. The two that aren't with us, Mike Stone. Mike has been, matter of fact, that's the guy that I've told many of you folks before. The first time I ever met Mike Stone was at San Juan Hill in Cuba because he was speaking English and had no idea that he lived right down the road. But Mike has continued to travel with us and do mission work in Cuba. and Ken Allred. A lot of our folks here know Mr. Ken. He is also going on this trip. We will be leaving this coming Thursday. Our team will be meeting at the airport at 4 o'clock to kind of get ahead of the curve. Our flight, I think, leaves at like 6:30, but we're going to have prayer in the airport at 5 o'clock. That is not a.m., okay? Some of y'all are like, I ain't going to be there anyway, huh? But if you would like to come and pray with our team before we head off and our families, please feel free to do that. The prayer will be 5 o'clock, and you don't. We're not going to be past the security gates or anything to that point. We won't do that until after we've prayed. What's that? American Airlines. So just kind of out there in front of where the American Airlines ticket counter is. Come on down. We would love, if the Lord so leads you, to have you come and pray with us. This year's kind of an interesting year. We never really know what to expect, but we know that things have gotten tougher on the Christians. They have gotten tougher on churches. I just wish I could express how proud I am of these guys. This is no joke. I mean, when you get in certain situations like that, they don't play. They don't like Americans. They don't like Christians. They try everything that they can to make it hard for us. So these are guys that are walking into real persecution. And we're going to go in there and do what God's called us to do. We're going to do it to the best of our ability to God's glory. But we do need your prayers. Please pray for us on a daily basis. This could potentially be one of the toughest years that we have ever had. And this also happens to be the year that we're actually planning on doing revival in a town of Ducaro, in a church in a place called Ducaro. So we're not supposed to really do any of that stuff. So we need your prayers. Otherwise, well, I ain't gonna say that. I'd say otherwise you might not have a pastor for a while, but, yeah, y'all might be going, oh goody, let's let them get there. But, at any rate, pray for the rest of the team along the way. But again, we're leaving this Thursday. Symbolically, as the pastor of the church, I hand this off to our team leader who is running this leg of the journey. We can't wait to find out what God has in store. I know that we're all excited to do that, and we like to commission our teams as they go out. So what I'm going to do right now is take this time and opportunity to share with you the prayer, because this is God's team. This is not Tony's team or my team. This is God's team fielded by Central Baptist Church. This is your team. And we're begging you to pray for us as we go, because we can't do without it. I'm really expecting God to do great things because you've already been praying. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just going to ask you to bow with me as we pray that God would commission and use this team as we go forward. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we do so with excitement. Lord, it is so exciting to be about your mission and to be on a journey. And Lord, these men that stand before you, as well as Mike and Ken, who are not able to be with us this morning, are following you into the unknown, following you on a mission, following you into the mission field to be used by you in ways that this team doesn't even know yet. But Father, we're there. We're willing. We're obedient. And we're ready to see your hand work in a mighty way. So Father, today as we come together as your church, your people, and we lift this team up, we do so asking for protection. But we do so asking that you would blind authorities to anything that might be counterproductive for your kingdom. Lord, we pray that the items and things that need to get in there that we will be taking with us will make it through safely. Lord, we pray that you will give us wisdom in areas as we travel. Lord, we thank you for our brothers that are on the other side who will also be there and be looking after us. But we pray, Father, for safety. We pray for health. We pray for you to use us. Lord, I am praying right now for the souls that you have already spoken to that are awaiting our arrival, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Lord, we are asking for a great harvest as we go forward in your name. And Lord, we do so realizing that we're nothing and no one without you, that from the step we take off of this altar today, you must guide our steps. We come to you willing to say we're ready to follow. Bless this team, strengthen this team, and may we come back with exciting news for the kingdom, not for us, Lord, but for the kingdom. Thank you for the hands that help, the prayers that go up, and the finances that have supported this team. And Lord, we're anxious to see what you're going to do. Bless them as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all keep praying for him. If you see a yellow shirt, let him know you're going to pray for him. Brother?
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 607 in your hymnals. It's called Something for Thee. Would you stand, please, as we sing two verses of this?
Father, we're thankful for the day that we can gather together, break bread together as Christians in your house, Father, and in the community of Christians and community of believers. We thank you, Father, also for the opportunity of ours to honor what is said in Malachi, that we give to you. If we give it to you unselfishly, Father, that you'll give us the blessings that we can't even comprehend. We pray, Father, for the gifts, the offerings, and the tithes that come to us this morning. Use them here in this community and around the world to further your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sadness, wherever you've been, come broken hearted, then rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. For the weary, rest that endures
Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Over our broken, lift up your face.
Bibles this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Mark, chapter 14, Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and I pose a question to you this morning, one that you can see right here, that's the title of this morning's message: Are You Mission Ready? Now, a lot of us might sit back and say, oh yeah, I got this, or we get to this circumstance or situation where I think the definitions have changed. Yeah, when we say, you know, are you mission ready, are you personally mission ready? Because we know that God has called each and every one of us to a specific task. They're all different. All of us have different talents and abilities, but working together, we're able to accomplish something really, really great. And He has us on a mission. You know, we talk about missionaries, and I think that for me, how many of y'all grew up in church? I'm going to ask this question this way. How many of y'all grew up in church? So it's been a year or so. How many of you older folks in here can remember? When you think about the term missionary, I want you to get in your mind, what does that conjure up? For most people like me, like my age, it's somebody trampling through the bush, you know, fighting anacondas and mosquitoes and all these other kind of things, you know, living out, having a bath once a week, how many of you all really would be honest and say, yeah, that's kind of when I hear mission, that's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, not that that's a bad thing. It's just that that's something that we're like, I don't want to do that. Yeah, we don't necessarily like that. It's not something we want to do. It doesn't seem very, very appealing. But here's the other thing we have to realize is that doing mission work doesn't mean that you have to go to the bush in Africa. Being a missionary means that you could be going into your own backyard. It can mean that you're going across town. It can mean that you're going across the state and you are utilizing what it is that God has given you in a specific edict to be used for His glory. Now, to me, I sat back and I said, well, let's just look at it this way. Yeah, are you mission ready? Are we ready to be on the mission God would have us on? So let's define. I want to look at Webster's definition, or excuse me, Google, whichever one it was, definition of what missions means. Okay, this is a definition. I mean, I Googled it. This is what I got. A person sent by a church into an area to carry on evangelism or other activities as educational or hospital work. A person strongly in favor of a program, set of principles, etc., who attempts to persuade or convert others. A person who is sent on a mission. You know, the thing about it is the Lord said that you and I are supposed to be on a mission. If we don't have a mission, we will never be a missionary, will we? It's real easy to sit back and just, you know, oh, okay, well, this is life. This is what it is. God didn't call any of us to be passive. He called us all to be active. He called us all with a mission to go forward for Him and to proclaim His name. So you will never be a missionary unless you first know what a missionary is and what they do. So now let's look at what a missionary does. A missionary should be on a mission. Now, I looked that word up, got the definition of it as well. Here's its definition. Listed as a noun, mission, plural, missions. One, an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel. You know, when you sit there and think about it, that is very true. Now, like I said, it could be in your own backyard, but yet you're traveling out of your yard to somebody else's yard, aren't you? It could be across town. You're going across town to help with Grace on the third Wednesdays. It involves a little bit of travel. You're getting on a plane Thursday. You're going to Cuba or you're going to Canada or you're going to Wyoming or wherever it may be to serve the Lord in regard to a mission. The second one says this, the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread its faith. The Christian mission. Now that's a secular definition, often identified with what we as Christians do. So the first thing we need to understand is what missions are, and we need to be on a mission. Now I want us to look at the scripture in the book of Mark chapter 14, because this is really interesting in how oftentimes we determine what missions really is and then what reality is. I want us to look at a passage that's familiar, but not for the same reason that we normally look at it. Look with me, if you would, Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. It says, now on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, the disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Your word speaks to our hearts. We ask right now that as we spend this time with you, as we come around as your family, as we're gathered together, and you are here in the midst, we know that. Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Pull us in the direction of you. Push us in the direction where you want us to go. But Lord, most of all, help us to meet you in this place today. Use this your servant. And Lord, speak to your children as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple of things that we see right there. And one of the things I want you to understand was that here were a couple of disciples that Jesus sent on a mission. Now, most of us wouldn't look at it that way because, you know, we've read about Peter and Paul, and we read about all the crowds, and we read about the preaching and everything else. Most people would sit back and say, well, how were these disciples that Jesus sent out on a mission? Here's why. Because Jesus wanted them to do something for him. That's what it was. The ironic part about it was the disciples brought this up. Did you notice that? Yeah, if you go back and look at the end of verse 13, or excuse me, end of verse 12, it says this. It says, on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, the disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? That's what they asked him. Yeah, they knew what was going on. They knew what was taking place. They knew that something had to happen because the Passover was taking place. And notice in verse 13 it says, and he sent out two of his disciples. He never sent them out alone. Lone rangers get in trouble. Those that go out there, those that are out there by themselves tend to have problems and issues, don't they? There needs to be some accountability. We've talked about this before because we always do better when we know somebody's watching, don't we? Accountability is a huge thing. So he sends out his children. He sent them out by at least two of them, and he sent them on a mission. A mission is anything that Jesus asked you to do for the sake of his name. Now, when we think about this particular passage, we know that it deals with the upper room. We know that it deals with the Last Supper, right? Do we really think about that being a mission in the context of the Last Supper? Many times we don't. Yeah, see, what we do is when we get there, we always get over there to where Jesus is sitting around the table with him. And when he breaks the bread, he says, this is my body. And when they partake of the cup, and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But do we really ever think about the preparation that took place before that happened? It didn't just magically happen. Jesus could make it magically happen, couldn't he? Could Jesus have walked in and everything be set up just as it should have been? Yeah, he could have. But no, what he chose to do was he chose to use two of his disciples and send them on a mission to allow them to be a part of what it is that he wanted to do, a part of what he was going to do. He invites us in to what it is that he wants to do. So here's the cool part that you need to understand. Missions is not about us arbitrarily picking something out of a book. It's about us praying and asking the Lord where he wants us to go. And you know what sometimes he'll do? He'll say, here's what I want you to do. I want two of you to go down into the city. What? That's really weird. I mean, when you read that, you know, you're sitting there saying, we're thinking about these big spiritual connections. But notice what he did. In verse 13, he gave them instructions. Look with me in verse 13. It says, and he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Now hold on a minute. What was the question that the disciples asked Jesus? Where do you want us to prepare the Passover? If you ask that question as a disciple and you get this answer, what are you thinking? Let me tell you what I'm thinking. When I ask questions, I like this thing called answers. Direct answers, don't you? How many of you people have people in your life that answer your questions with other questions? How many of you does that drive crazy? It's like, stop! Stop! Don't, you know, and I'm going to give you, listen, you're going to do it in just a few minutes. All y'all are going to do it in just a few minutes. Where do you want to go eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go? One of y'all better ask the other one really quick first where you want to go eat. Because the other one's going to look like you can remind them that they sinned today, okay? Now here's what happened. See, what happened was, they ask a question, okay, where do you want us to go prepare the supper? And they get the answer, I want you to go in town, you're going to see a man with a pitcher, and follow him. Does that sound like an answer to the question? I mean, people like me, you know what I'd be doing? And I know Tony would too. You're sitting there going, the Barney Fife. That is not an answer to the question that I ask you. See, folks, here's what I'm getting at. Many times we will ask Jesus, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? And He is going to give us the answer, and we're going to hear it loudly and clearly. We're going to know what to do, but it's not going to make sense. And all God's people said, you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you're like, I asked Him where we wanted to go. Where do you want us to prepare the supper? Now He's wanting us to follow a man with a pitcher. We're going to look like some crazy creeper. I mean, think about it. Listen, put it in the context. Here's two disciples. They're going into town. What are they looking for? A man with a pitcher. What were they initially asking for? Where do you want us to set this up? Down at the Civic Center? You want us to put it up at the local meeting place? Go find a man with a pitcher. If you're walking to town and you're sitting there going, did I hear that right? I mean, me and Mike, because I love picking on Mike, have just been sent into town. And you've heard the same thing I heard, and we're on the way. You know why? Because Mike and I hadn't quite figured it out yet, and I'm like, did you hear what I heard?
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. Didn't we ask him where to set this up, right? But he told us to do what?
We got to find a guy with a pitcher.
We got to go into town and find a guy with it. What does that have to do with setting up the supper? Do you know, Mike? I don't have any idea. But anyway, Mike and I go into town. And we're sitting there going, we ain't telling nobody because this looks weird. I mean, we're looking like some creepy stalker or something. That's what it looks like. See, here's the thing, folks. The Lord's going to give you a loud and clear answer, but we're not going to look at it as loud and clear. How many times have we said, I just wish the Lord would tell me? The Lord is telling you. It's just not, He's not telling you the way you want to hear it. See, the disciples asked the question, where do you want us to set the supper up? And Jesus told them, go find a guy. That didn't answer the question directly, but it was a process, wasn't it? He says this. He says, you'll meet a man with a pitcher of water, and what are you supposed to do? It gets even weirder, doesn't it, Mike? Mike's like, there he is, Roy, there he is. And I'm like, good, Mike, now what, you know what we're supposed to do now? Think about it. I mean, look, when you put it in a reality context, that seems weird, doesn't it? But that's what it says in the Word. This is somebody that they didn't know. Listen, Jesus could have said, go down and find Carl down there and follow him. Yeah, Carl's going to have a pitcher of water, follow him. No. They didn't know each other. All of a sudden, you got this guy being followed by two disciples. And notice what it says. Verse 14, wherever he goes in, say to the master of says, where is the guest room? I may eat the Passover with my disciples. It gets even weirder, doesn't it? Now, the guy that Mike and I are following, who doesn't know us from Adam's house cat, we see him go into the house. And Mike and I go up and say, we'd like to see the master. And he's like, you the cats have been following me from town? That's us. Go get the master. They don't know him either. And what did they say? It says, you're supposed to tell him, the teacher says, and I'm paraphrasing here, the teacher says, we're supposed to eat here. They said, where is the guest room which I may... If somebody come up that you didn't know to your house and said, look, I'm supposed to be here to use the guest room, what are you thinking? I'm like, are you starting to understand the gravity and the reality of what we're talking about here? You know why that was? Here's the key. Here's the whole thing I don't want you to miss. If you miss everything else, do not miss this. The reason that those particular things took place the way they did, are you ready? Here it is. Jesus had already been there before them. He had already prepared the way. Listen, do you think that Jesus Yeah, just arbitrarily said there's going to be a guy with a pitcher of water. No, he lined everything up so that this guy would be going and drawing water at the time that the disciples were going to be there to see him. And he knew that he'd be taking the water back home. And he had worked on the heart and prepared the heart of the homeowner with the guest room. He had taken all of the pieces of the puzzle and he had them laid out there. And all they had to do was be slid together because Jesus had already been there. Here's the fun part. You ready? Guys, listen, us yellow shirts, Jesus has already been there. He's already been working in customs. He's already been working in Ducaro. He's already been working at the home. He already worked in your hearts about what you would give to be able to take for this team to take and do ministry over there. He already has put on your hearts those that will diligently pray for each of us every day because Jesus has already been there. You know all we got to do is be obedient. You know what? When Tony was sitting in that little chair last year, for the first year, I'm sorry, brother, I can laugh. Sitting over there and this lady in this little chair, honestly, I had calm about it, and I know he did. He don't like it, but I know he did too. I think he was more mad at himself than anything else. But I wasn't worried about it. Because in just a few short minutes after I laughed at him, I was over there beside him with another suitcase. But God had already been, I didn't even know what was in the suitcase I was opening up until I opened it up and it was full of PVC pipe fittings. You explain that one? Are you going to wear the 45 or the 90 today? Pipe fittings. Nah, they're for to work on the water supply at the retirement center. Listen, one of two things, they're either going to put us on a plane for home or they're going to let us go. But Jesus had been there before. And the guy walks me over to the side and he goes, I'm a believer too. A couple years before that, we get busted with all these instruments. And the guy's like, you plan on leaving these? Tony's like, well, we'd like to if we could. And the guy's like, we felt like he was a believer too. We got stopped at the door going out. And he's like, hey! You know why that happened? Because Jesus had already been there. See, this is what we've got to remember, that when God calls us to go and do, Jesus has already been there. He's already made the way. He's already got everything in order. And look at that verse. I mean, when you think about it, how weird does it look? Verse 14, wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? You know why? Jesus had already been there and lined it up. He's like, oh, right this way. See, we don't always see the invisible. In fact, seldom do we ever see the invisible hand of Jesus that has gone before us. Verse 15 said, then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Do you see that? You know what the key words in there are? Furnished and prepared. You know why it was furnished and prepared? Because Jesus had already been there. Isn't that cool? Furnished and prepared. See, what I'd really like to see, and I can't wait to get to heaven one day to talk to this guy, and here's the reason why. Because I want to know about the conversation we don't read in the Bible. I want to know about when Jesus showed up and told him, I want you to go to your upper room, and I want you to prepare, you know, for 13. Have a service set out for 13 and him have no earthly idea why. Think about it for a minute. Have you ever been there before where you're doing something and you're like, well, this is what I feel like the Lord wants me to do. This is the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life. How many of you have ever been there? If you hadn't, you need to be. If you haven't been there, you hadn't been following him right. Because I'm promising you, he's going to put you in some situations that you're going to say, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done in my life, and I don't even know why I'm doing it. Let me tell you why you're doing it. Because Jesus asked you to do it. And he's looking for obedience. I don't care how weird it is. I've shared with you as part of my testimony that one night before I was married, I woke up at 3 in the morning. If you know me, that's usually about the time I'm going to bed, much less waking up. I don't wake up at 3 in the morning. I don't do that. I sleep good. And I got up and I'm like, the Lord's sitting there saying, you need to get dressed and go down to the mailbox. And I'm like, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Guess what I'm doing? Now, this is the weird part. I still look back on that. I am putting my clothes on saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my... And don't we do that? Remember what I said. Jesus' message to the disciples was clearly discernible. They knew what they were supposed to do. They didn't have any idea how I was going to answer their question. I was getting dressed that night. I had no idea why I was doing what I was doing. Until I was going out the door to the mailbox, and Jesus said, there's somebody out there that you need to talk to. At 3 a.m. I get to the mailbox, there's not a soul there. I'm like, must have been some bad chipped beef or something. The pool was over there, so I turned, and I walked just a few feet over to where the pool is. I see nobody. I'm like, I'm going back to get in bed. And when I turned around, there was somebody getting their mail out of a mailbox at 3 a.m. And as soon as I saw it, the Lord said, there he is, go get him. You know what I did? Nothing. Because that's what a lot of us do. I was shocked. The Lord said, there he is, go get him. I lined it up. I prepared it. I set it up. I had him on his way to get the mail. I got you up in enough time because I know how slow you are. It was timed out perfect for you to be down there, for you to see him, for you to tell him about me. Go get him. And what did I do? I stood there. I thought, this is just too strange. It's kind of like old Barney's dog. Gun man, get him, Blue! And he sat there. When I finally got to my senses, and I've shared this before, I walked to the mailbox because the guy was walking away, and I looked around the mailbox, and he was nowhere to be seen. He didn't come in a car. He was on foot. And to this day, I wonder whether or not that guy missed out a salvation opportunity because of me. I wonder, listen, God loved him enough that he got me out of bed to go down there and talk to him. And I screwed it up. How many things do we mess up that God has in store? He wants us to be on a mission. And when he asked us to do it, here's the fun part. He's already gone before us. Listen, I've seen him blind customs agents. Yeah, that's where you almost want to go. And that kind of like that deal, remember where the circumstance was going on with Lot and the angels just walked through the crowd and nobody saw him? I've seen Jesus do that kind of stuff because he's been there before. What is he asking us to do that scares us to death? I want us to remember he's already been there. In fact, one of the biggest things that made me understand this, and although I've shared this a bunch, it's something that drives it home to me, was Chad Carter's the one who really kind of made me see this at one point, and it was in Cuba. And I've shared it before, but it was a time when I preached at the church in Guantanamo, man. It was like the people kept on seemed to be coming. And there was a person who was deaf that accepted Christ during that service. And on the way home, Chad, in all of his wisdom and his quiet wisdom, he said, you know, isn't it interesting how God works? And I'm like, yeah! What? He said, think about this for a minute, Pastor. That's what he called me. He said, Pastor, think about this for a minute. He said, that deaf guy that accepted Jesus. And I said, yeah. He said, God loved that deaf guy so much that he called you out of North Carolina to come to Santiago, Cuba, to get a ride from Santiago, Cuba to Guantanamo, to preach in a church in Guantanamo in English that had to be translated by a translator into Spanish. That had to be translated yet again from Spanish to sign language so that guy could hear about Jesus and accept him. You know, I never thought about that. I mean, have you thought about that? The length that God will go through for a soul. And he lined it all up. I have never forgotten that. I mean, think about it. And Chad said this. Because you were obedient to God, this guy will be in heaven. But you can also say, because the deaf interpreter was obedient, that guy will be in heaven. Because Jose, my translator, was obedient, that guy will be in heaven. Because I was obedient and went, that guy will be in heaven. Listen, he's going to be in heaven because of Jesus, but Jesus will go to extreme lengths to reach you. And he uses people and he uses scenarios just like this one. Lord, we want to do great things. What do you want us to do? I want you to go stalk a guy in town with a water pitcher. No, that doesn't sound like something spiritual. That doesn't sound like it belongs in the annals of Central Baptist Church history. How did this get started? Well, we stalked a guy in town with a water pitcher. It's too weird. Listen, it's not like asking something tremendous, is it? It's not anything that's overly hard. And we're sitting there and we're like, what are you going to do? Remember when God healed the king? Remember the servant, they went to the prophet and the prophet didn't even go out and see him. The prophet sent his servant out to the king and the king got mad. Remember that? And the prophet's servant said this, if he would have done something with a bunch of pomp and circumstance, would that have made it any better? Listen, why don't you just go do what he said? Remember what he said, go dip in the river seven times. If he'd have come out and gone, and said do all that, would it have made it any better? If somebody would have danced around and done all the little stuff, would that have made it any better? Why don't you just do what he said? At which point the king did, right? And what happened? He was healed. See, here's the really cool part. When we're doing what God has gifted us and talented us to do, it's not hard for us. All right, we're ready to prepare the supper for you. Where you want us to prepare it? Go in there and find a guy with a pitcher. Follow him. Follow him to that house. Tell the master we want to use the guest room. All right, let's go. You see, the more you do that, the more you trust God, the more faith you have in Him, here's what happens. It becomes natural. It's weird, but you see how this story ended, right? You know why it ended this way? Because God had already prepared the way. Jesus had already been there. I look at all of our teams that go out. I look at the preparation that goes in from year to year, and I watch people who live daily by faith. I mean daily. I mean, they live by faith in such a fashion that literally they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. They live by faith in such a fashion that I will never forget. It sits on my desk, the little basket of, I'll call it craft flowers that a pastor's wife had made. And the reason she made them, she sent them to a guy to sell so that she could get money for Awana books for the kids in their church, because that was so important to her, because those little kids take those Awana books home and their parents really help them with it. So what's happening is not only are they reaching the little kids that come, but they're reaching the moms and dads that are coming as well. And she said that book is a vital part of it. And listen, they needed $80. I can still remember it. $80. Of what would be equivalent to our money. Now I want you to think about for a second. A doctor in Cuba makes $20 a month. 4 months of a doctor's salary. An average worker at that point was making $15 a month. Okay? So how many months' salary at $15 would it take to buy those books? A lot. I'm not good at math. Probably half a year, right? 6 months. Now, let me ask you this. I want you to think, just where you are, regardless of what you do, regardless of where you work, how much is 6 months of your salary? All of a sudden, that figure becomes a lot bigger, doesn't it? 6 months. You know what? She had zero doubt that them little things were going to bring her the money that she needed to get those books. You know why? Because in her heart, Jesus had already been there. The guy was going down there, and she knew, listen, the guy was delayed in getting the money back, and she had to get the Awana missionary the money, or he couldn't get the books, or he couldn't get, and it was a deadline thing. And we showed up. Guess how much money this church, this was done before we knew all this. Guess how much money this church was giving to that particular Awana club? It was not 80, it was 160. It was twice what she had been praying for. You know why? Because Jesus showed up here. He showed up in your heart. He showed up in your pocketbook. Showed up in His planning. Showed up in our going. All because Nelvis was over there praying, Lord, these kids need a Awana books, and you're going to have to make it happen, and I know you're going to. Here, I'm doing my best. Here are these little flowers, and some guy's going to go out and make 6 months worth of an average salary on this. Let me put it this way. That ain't happening. But you know what God did? God said, I'll see your little flower, and I'll raise you a fortune. I have a little flower over there. You know why? Because she said, I want you to have one of these, because she understood how much of a thing God had done through her story. You know what God did? God paid $160 for one flower. You know why? Because He can. And that's God. He had already been there. And He said, yeah, Roy, you can take that flower home. You can put it on your desk as a constant reminder that I've already been here. And for every one of us, here's what I want you to get, and then I close. I'm going to ask our musicians, go ahead and take your place for our invitation. Here's what I want you to get, and here's what I want you to understand. What is not happening if we're not being obedient? What happens if Mike and I say, stupidest thing I ever heard in my life, I am not going to go down there and find some guy, you know, with a pitcher. That's stupid. Because it does sound pretty dumb, doesn't it? Sounds creepy. And then follow Him? Did I ask the question wrong, Mike? Did you? No, the question was asked right. Now here's the part. Oftentimes we sit back and say, I just don't understand what God's doing. No, you understand perfectly what God's telling you. You're just not comprehending it. We asked where to set the supper up. He said, go follow a guy to a house. See, the problem is, we're sitting there going, well, there must be some disconnect. Clearly, we have a poor line of communication between... No. He's communicating. He's wanting to see if you're obedient to do what He's told you to do. It's not hard for us to go down and follow a guy. And then I'm sitting there, we're probably sitting outside going, Mike, are you going to ask him? I'm not. This is some stranger's house. They don't know us from anything. And we're supposed to go tell him that we want to use the upper room? That's weird. How much money you got on you? Maybe we could bribe him or something. Don't we try to help God out? You know what the problem with it is? Well, A, it doesn't work. But B, God had already been there. God had already set it up. You know what? There's a really good chance that housekeeper, the person that owned that house, was also anxiously waiting for me and Mike to come by. Might have been going, I think this is it. This is what God... And here's what I can do to fit in the plan that God has. Are you on a mission? It doesn't have to be going to Cuba, although it can be. It doesn't have to be Canada, Wyoming. Listen, it could be Grace Community. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in your backyard. But God's got something for you. And when you pray and say, Lord, use me for your honor and glory. And He says, go to town and find a guy with a pitcher. Go to town and find the guy with the pitcher. He'll reveal it one step at a time. One of the hard things that I know, and I laugh at Tony because we've been on this for a long time, drove him crazy not to have all the details. But God's taught him along the way. I mean, Maalox, Pepto-Bismol, because that's mission trips. Tony finally learned, hey, God's got it. My job's to do this. get them here, get them back. That's my job. God's got the rest of it. The planning, God's got the rest of it. That's been the fun part too. It's just like, he's already been there, man. But see, he already worked with him to know what we needed to do this year. And here's the bizarre part. We don't know what that is yet. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. Hopefully it won't include prison. But it's exciting being a part of God's plan. But he's only going to give it to us a little bit at a time. And it's going to sound weird. It's going to sound crazy. Don't dismiss that. Are you mission ready? You ready to follow him? Maybe there's some things we need to deal with. Maybe we thought church is just about coming here and being together. No, listen, this is where you learn to go out and do those things, to equip the saints. It's where you learn to go to minister to the homeless people with our young people in Wilmington. It's where you go to Wyoming and feed kids. But you know, it wasn't just about feeding kids. It was about re-engineering the whole water system so they could have camp so that 12 people could come to know Jesus. You know what? God put Central Baptist team there because they knew the water was going to have to be fixed or they wouldn't have to be able to have camp. You know why? Because Jesus had already been there. Pretty cool, isn't it? And as we get ready to leave, we do so knowing he's already been there. But we're asking you to pray. We're asking you to be a part. We're asking you, where is your place to be mission ready right here? Where is it? Maybe you need to deal with God. Listen, when you ask him, he might tell you to follow the guy with the pitcher. If he does, sounds weird, just follow the guy with the pitcher. And be looking. Okay, what's next? Follow him in the house. Ask for the upper one step at a time. Listen, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe he's not speaking to you like that. Maybe you're not part of the family. Maybe you've been going through the motions. Here's the thing. Man, I beg you today, become part of this family. I'm not talking about just the church family. I'm talking about the church family universal, which means those who know Christ. We want you as part of the family. Don't let Satan keep you in your seat. Don't let the king of all liars keep you back. Because ultimately, whether you go to hell or not is the choice you make, because he would that none should perish. We want you. We want to do life together. Oh, by the way, here's the really cool part. You're going, oh, messed up. We do it all the time. How many of y'all in here messed up this past week? How many of y'all in here messed up today? Hallelujah. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace coming together. Amen?
Amen.
So we can't sit there and go, you messed up, Mike. I thought we did it. No, no. Listen, we need to spend time cleaning up our own backyards. We won't have time to clean up everybody else's. Do you need Jesus? I'm inviting you. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but there's something inside you right now that says it's not right, I want to encourage you that when we begin to sing, preacher, I don't have a clue what's going on. Something's not right. We'll sit down. We'll talk about it. We'll get it figured out. Maybe you need the altar. Maybe there's some things that you need to dump off right there. But this is real. This is serious. And he wants to use you in one of those places. Maybe it's to prepare the room. Maybe it's to go find the guy with the water pitcher and follow him. Maybe it's to be a part of the disciples around the table. You know what? We glamorize the Lord's Supper, but we don't think about this cat. What was he doing? You know what? He was back in the corner probably going, that's right. I got to be used by the Lord. The room was perfect. Had everything set up. Look at that. Isn't that neat? You know what? You don't hear about him. He's an unsung hero, but he was obedient. Will you be obedient today? Listen, the altar's here, I'm here. Whatever you need to do, as we stand, as we sing, you come.